Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us, we have Sharon Sayer. Sharon is an international best-selling author, communications trainer, and speaker. She's devoted to teaching professionals around the world to become stronger, more influential leaders. And she has just published a wonderful new children's book, Pinky Chanel and the Rainbow Hunters. Sharon, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Vicki.
I wanted to ask you first, for those who haven't had the chance to meet you or see you speak, as you have at so many of our IFFY Book Awards during the years, if you could tell us a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose in life.
Oh, my goodness. By chance? I sort of fell into it. I realized that I had been doing a marketing and graphic design company for years, and I enjoyed it. But it wasn't until I went to an event where I saw a man teaching body language that I realized that there's a difference between what you're really good at, like a skill, and what you were born to do. And I was mesmerized by everything he was saying, and I was so attuned to it that I quickly sold my company and began to immerse myself in the study of what words mean and the understanding of body language and nonverbal communication. So sort of by chance, really.
Well, that's such a big leap, you know, because you were doing something that you were all set in and it was successful, and then to leap into the unknown. How did you gather what you needed up to be able to make that kind of decision to just jump into something totally different and new?
Oh, great question. I have to say, I'm not sure there was a conscious thought process to it when I think back. I was so mesmerized from the first 10 minutes of that event. It was that moment of where you know you're home. I don't know how else to describe it. I had that moment a few years later because this particular person worked a lot in education and teachers. And as I went to work for him and studying with him, I began to work in education and helping teachers, which I loved. But one night I was helping 9 professional women who were all on the fast track wanting to be in the C-suite and get on boards. And that was another moment where I went, now I love teachers, but I'm home here with these professional women. So, like I said, I'm not sure it was a conscious thought process where I plotted out, okay, you're going to radically change your life and these are the steps. I have to say, I just took a leap of faith. There wasn't even a net, but it worked out. So I'm not sure I recommend that process, but that was the I did.
That's great, and it's worked out so well for you. And you've written several best-selling books that are basically for the space that you were just talking about. But now here comes this wonderful children's book. Tell us a little bit about how that evolved.
Oh, my goodness. Well, about 4.5 years ago, maybe almost 5 years ago now, I had my first granddaughter, my first grandchild on the way, and it was in the middle of the night. I woke up and Pinky Chanel was in my head. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, that all of a sudden something happens and it's the whole story was there. The whole world of Addendale was there. And it was an odd moment. I sat there for a while and just kept repeating the story over and over in my head, and I grabbed out my pencil and my journal, started writing it down. And this is so typical of the technology age. I jump right up afterwards and I go to see if the domain is available, because I'm like, wow, this is such a great story. I have to research it and find out all about it. And so I immediately grabbed the domain, and then the story just began to evolve. I'd never written a children's book, and what I wrote at first was quite long. And the more I researched children's books, and especially children's picture books, which mine is geared for the 3 to 8 year old, and it needs to be, you know, about 800 to 1,000 words max. Even that's a lot. Mine is 900 words. But I have to be honest, Vicki, I can write hundreds and hundreds, you know, thousands of words for all my nonfiction work. I found it was very hard to write a rhyming picture book, much harder than any of my nonfiction work.
That's so interesting. What did you find so challenging about it? Where do you think that came from?
Well, to tell a really good story that moved along and had enough descriptions that people could visit you in that world and still hold the story together, but say it in 900 words. It became a process of just slowly taking away from the little bits of descriptors I had and coming up with a more concise descriptive word. And then you add on to that the whole story of Pinky Schneel and the Rainbow Hunters rhymes. And so once I got it down to the crux of the story that I was wanting to share about persistence and getting along and teamwork, which is what the story is about, I had to come up with, okay, now we have to have it, in my mind, I had to have it rhyme. And so that became another level of a lot of work, which the inner word nerd absolutely loved. The inner word nerd was just having a joyous time with that.
Oh, that's great. I was just thinking, we have had some script writers that have ended up writing novels that we've taken to bestseller for them. And when I talked with them about why they decided to write novels, one of these novels was like 500 pages. And when I asked them why they chose to do it, all of them had chimed in and said during different interviews that they did it because script writing was like 100 pages, or no, it's not even that much. I can't remember exactly what the number of pages is, but it's short. You know, when you write a script, it's short. And they wanted to do something bigger. So I can see how, you know, you having been used to writing longer books and using more words, how that would be challenging. But, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful book. I had a chance all the way through the process of being able to view it at different stages. And it's so lovely. Why don't you share with parents out there why this should be a book that their children should read?
Oh, my goodness. I love it because it's a wonderful fantasy story about Pinky Schneel and Princess Adeline. And one day, Pinky wakes up and all the color has disappeared from the world. Pinky Schneel and Princess Adeline have to set about to find out what happened to the color. And throughout the process, they meet various, what I call, critters. And during that time, it's all about getting along and people being mean to each other and settling their differences to actually bring color back to the world. It was so much fun to write from that standpoint of how do you say all of that good stuff, like how do we get along? How do we work together as a team to solve this problem in just a very short amount? But so far, the reviews have been great. It just makes my heart sing because as having a granddaughter myself, I so value reading. I think reading, especially at those early ages, is so important for their vocabulary, for their understanding of concepts and empathy. It's amazing to me, the more I read to my granddaughter, and not just Pinky Schneel, but I'm a lover of children's books anyway, it's so amazing to me how fast I see her developing in so many skills besides the reading, because there's a total of 7 characters in this book, and she and I'll sit down and we'll count the different illustrations on the page, the different characters on each page. So you can learn from a children's book so many ways besides just reading. And this particular book for the age range works best, I think, if the parent or grandparent or someone involved with the child reads it to the children or reads it along with the children.
That is so wonderful. And you were talking earlier about the traits that you hope children will identify with that are shared in the book. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I think a lot of our learning comes outside of school, and I like to make sure that the people involved in my world are learning, you know, good things that we need to know, like how to get along, how not to argue, how to share, how to be persistent, and teamwork. So I find that I like to share those kinds of concepts. And in the back of the book, I've actually gotten several pages where I've written conversation starters that you could ask questions of young people after you've read the book together and have a conversation around it. There's, I think, 6 or 8 questions there that you could ask and play with. I've also got other pages there where I call it the letter detective. And you go back and some of the rhyming words, some of them are like 6 or 7 letters. So for the age of 3 to 8, those are fairly good size words. So in the back are games that you can play with the larger words so children learn not just the small words like cat and dog, but they also learn the bigger words too. So I like to make the book a whole experience.
I love that. And it's such a wonderful experience for families to have together, parents with their children and grandparents with their grandchildren. And, you know, it's just a fabulous, fabulous experience. So with the work you're doing and now breaking into writing children's book out of love for your grandchild, what would you like to see if this were to become a legacy for our future leaders, the contribution that you've made? What would that look like to you if that was out in the world as it is in a book where everyone can access it? What kind of impact would you like to see?
Oh, my goodness. I would love it to be a conversation starter about getting along and about understanding differences. That's what my passion is about, is just have the books I write be a conversation starter. They're great to read from front to back and you'll learn something. But to me, it's the bigger portion that what all books actually bring to my world. And that's how many times can we start a conversation with other people and get ideas flowing around these concepts that the book shares. And what I've loved is the people that have so far read Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, is they'll even come to me and write me or call me up and say, wow, I love the book and it's about, and I'll go, wow, that's fantastic. There's another concept I hadn't seen in the book. And that's what I love about it, is when you can keep generating more and more ideas and keep the conversation going. And I have to say, there's another Pinky Chenille in the works. This one, I've had so much fun writing it. Like I said, 5 years ago, Pinky Chenille inhabited my head and the stories just keep coming. So I'm very excited that we have another one, Pinky Chenille and the Sapphire Slippers, will be out soon as well.
Oh, that's great. I was going to ask you what was next. It's very interesting to me because sometimes we do things, I know I have done this many times in my career, that seem somewhat disjointed. And when you break them down and you look at the essence of what that is that you've done, you find that there's more similarity than you ever could imagine. And the driver I see here for you from what you're sharing with us, Sharon, is the idea of communication being so critically important. Talk to us a little bit more about that in general and how that really drives your life.
Oh, well, I like to say in my real life, because I guess it's all real, but out in my work world, my whole world is all about communication, teaching people how to do public speaking, how to understand each other in a team, understanding gender differences in a team, and how miscommunication can easily happen. Oftentimes I'm dubbed the difficult people whisperer out there in the corporate world because I teach people how to understand what words really mean and how to get, what I like to say, the story behind the story when you're dealing with people. There's always a story that I say is very socially acceptable, but then there's a story behind that story. And that's what I love to dig out of the people I work with and find out how can we all get along? And so Pinky Chenille actually, to me, is, some people think it's an odd extension, but to me it was the same thing that drives me, and that's having everybody understand what each other is talking about and where we're coming from.
That is so beautiful, and never have we needed that more than now. It's such a critical time to have so much emphasis on communication. So when you look at the body of work that you're doing, how would you like that to impact? You know, particularly like the work that you're doing with speakers and coaches and business people.
Well, I always get such a tickle and some of the greatest joy when people that I've worked with come back to me later and say, you know, I thought you were teaching me how to do public speaking and be in an impactful way, but getting out there with a movement or a message in an impactful way. But I have found, and they'll just go through a whole long list, like, it's made my relationship with my spouse better, it's made my relationship with my kids better. And that's what I love, when there's just basic communication skills, when we understand some of the underlying factors of what drives communication and motivation that impact people in such a huge way. And I enjoy what I call those light bulb moments, where as a consultant and a coach, I have just the wonderful opportunity to be part of that moment where all of a sudden you can see, it's like eyes get bigger, and I don't know how else to express it except a light bulb moment, that they see, oh, and this skill that we just learned could be used here and here and here and here and here and there. And those are the fantastic moments to me, when they can see that, see, it's just a concept in a context, but use that same concept in all these other contexts, and it works fabulously as well. That's what drives me, and that's what I want to be known for.
That is so wonderful, and you are known for that. It's so wonderful, the contribution you make. If you could possibly share a few tips that maybe are, you know, the biggest tips for people who really want to improve communication but maybe aren't quite hitting the mark on that, what would they be?
Oh, wow. The first one would be, if you hear, why are you always so? Think about that. People are sending you a message. People come to me and say, why does everybody say I'm always so judgmental or always so angry or what have you? Just fill in the blank. Realize that you're being sent a very important and powerful message. Instead of brushing it off saying, I'm not angry or I'm fine, you're actually being given a gift. There's something that you're doing with your body language. Most often what we'll call your resting or thinking face, that is sending that message. Now, I know we're just audio here, but think about if you purse your lips and sort of scrunch up your face, sometimes people will go, oh, what's she doing? And oftentimes you could just be thinking. I know several people, clients of mine, that used to do this sort of scrunchy face thing that I call it. When you ask them to think about something, you ask them a how question or you had them go inside, they would sort of scrunch up their face. And yet, when I took a picture of it and showed them the picture, they go, wow, that's a real judgmental face. I go, but you weren't being judgmental. You were just thinking. And so if you hear, why are you always so? Ask your closest friends, what was my face doing at the moment you asked me that question? Because oftentimes we go inside and we're not aware of what our thinking face is doing. That, I think, is the biggest one, because oftentimes we're not talking, especially in a meeting, we're thinking, and our face could be sending all sorts of messages that we don't intend. So that's probably my biggest one that I share with people.
That's wonderful. Can we have just one more tip?
Oh, sure. My famous one that I love to tease people a lot with is always keep your chin parallel to the ground. And most people don't think about their chin at all. They're like, chin, body language, what do you mean? Keep your chin parallel to the ground. Oftentimes, this is more gender female related, but I do see men do it as well. So be aware that when they're listening, they tip their head to the left or to the right. And so consequently, the chin is no longer parallel to the ground. And what it says is submissive. And oftentimes as a leader, because I work a lot with C-suite people, that when you tip your head and someone is asking you a question, can we do this or do I have the budget to do that type of thing, and you're in that submissive pose, it actually puts you in a submissive frame of mind. So we want to be sure that we have the right frame of mind, and having our head in alignment with our spine keeps our thinking clearer. But it also sends that submissive pose like, oh my gosh, my boss today is being easy. I'll be able to get whatever I want. But also in the listening pose, if we tip our head to the left or right, and oftentimes we add a little nod to that, and people are asking us questions because we're listening or telling us something. Maybe they're asking for a new budget or they're telling us how a project is going. And we're sitting there with our head tipped and we're nodding. They assume we're agreeing when all we're doing is acknowledging, yes, I'm hearing you. Yes, I'm hearing you as you nod your head. Yet they go away going, yes, the boss signed off on it. They agreed with me. Maybe a week or so goes by, and as the boss, you go in and you say, what's going on? And the person goes, yeah, but you agreed with me. Don't you remember back 2 weeks ago when we said you were agreeing? And so keep your chin tucked parallel to the ground and limit the nods. You'll be just fine.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Thank you so much for the great generosity of your time today, Sharon, and addition to the great tips and great information, and just congratulations on your newest book, and keep putting out this wonderful information into the world.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. As you can tell, I do geek out on it.
You know, Sharon, people will probably want to connect with you after this call. So could you please share with us where they might be able to do that on web?
Oh, absolutely. It's at SharonSaylor.com, SharonSayler.com. There's a contact page there. And Pinky Chenil, which is Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. So if you want to know more about the children's book.
Wonderful. Sharon, thank you. It's always such a delight to be with you. And I just can't thank you enough for being with us today. And again, congratulations on the new book.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. It's just been my pleasure.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global communities and broadcasts, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.